Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inner Sight. Inner Sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have within you the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is the seven rays, and we're at part eight today, and we're doing ray seven. And we're going to be speaking about ray seven. It's the ray of order and organization. And when we speak about rays, what we're really talking about is unseen energies, forces, and perhaps even frequencies that affect us. And more we're finding out that there are so many aspects of the universe that, although unseen, they do have a profound effect on us. And if we want to explore that in other ways, we can even take a look at the recent findings in quantum physics. But let's begin today with a thought by Alice Bailey. And Alice Bailey comments on the rays, but we have a lot of literature on this particular topic, but one quote that I like from Alice Bailey is the following. There is one life which expresses itself primarily through the seven basic qualities or aspects, and secondarily through the myriad diversity of forms. These seven radiant qualities are the seven rays. And Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization, and so every bit of dialogue that emanates from this show is really based on the literature of Alice Bailey, our founder of Lucis Trust. Sarah, Dale, before we move forward into our discussion of Ray 7, can you please recap for us what's gone on in the past?
We've talked about six of the seven rays. There are seven in all, and we've discussed how the world, the universe, is a sevenfold composition. Seven planes of existence are an essential aspect of the esoteric view of the world that runs through all the major world religions. There's the biblical view that the world was created in 7 days. There are the seven colors of the spectrum and so on. The seven rays refer to the sevenfold expression of divinity. In other words, the Godhead, the Creator, the source of all life, manifests in a sevenfold manner. The first ray of power and will, the second ray of love, wisdom, the third ray of active intelligence, the fourth ray of harmony through conflict, the fifth ray of knowledge, and the sixth ray of idealism and devotion. And we talked in our last program about the sixth ray, which has governed our world for the past 2,000 years, according to the Ageless Wisdom. It's the ray of idealism and devotion, and this has fostered the spiritual aspiration within the human being over the past two millennia. It's developed in the human consciousness an orientation to the abstract realms of life, and this has led to the development of the various philosophies and ideologies. It's also been the period in which Christianity and Islam, two of the major world religions, developed.
And there's also another very interesting aspect of resulting from the sixth ray of idealism, and that's the growth and the development of the science of psychology, because that is, which is very apropos to our work, actually, too, because as the mind focuses on these ideals, it has a tendency to help awaken the mind. And as the mind awakens, and through more stimulation, certain diseases and neuroses appear because this is a new kind of development in the human being. So the science of psychology has arisen because of this, and so we've got the great forerunners of Freud and Adler and Jung, and around the beginning of the 20th century. So this is one of the major developments of the sixth ray, coming right at the end of the age almost.
Right, and the end of the age leads up to the point that's been touched upon, that as a ray energy withdraws in its influence, one sees the more negative effects of it, and the negative side of the sixth ray is the fundamentalism and the fanaticism that's so prevalent in the world today. The religious fanaticism, but there are other types of fanaticism too. The tendency of thought and ideology to crystallize itself around some particular ideal or idea is very much a sign of the withdrawing of the sixth ray.
Well, before we explore the seventh ray further, I'd just like to mention another quote from Alice Bailey, our founder. And Alice Bailey, by the way, is the author of 24 volumes of books. And that's what this show is based on, is all that literature. This quote from Alice Bailey is interesting. The seventh ray of order and organization. One of the first lessons that humanity will learn under the potent influence of the seventh ray is that the soul controls the personality through ritual or through the imposition of a regular rhythm. For rhythm is what really designates a ritual. Before we go on, what does Alice Bailey, what does she mean by ritual? And is it the ritual of a religious service?
Well, it can be, but it can be more than that. It's said in the writings of Alice Bailey that the work of the seventh ray is the relating of life and form. In other words, of the inner subjective spirit aspect and the outer form aspect. It's the bringing together of the two. And this is done through the impact of ritual, which is the gathering up and the marshaling and organizing of forces. Now, if you think about it, most of the world's religions have rituals that are very sacred to their tradition. There's the Catholic Mass. There's the moment in the Jewish New Year when the rabbi unveils the Torah, which is a sacred moment in the Jewish faith. There's the Hindu funeral ceremony. These are aspects of religious ritual that carry tremendous spiritual power. But there are other kinds of rituals, too. Can you think of some?
Oh, yes. I mean, as Alice Bailey has said, no one on earth can evade rituals, and it's something we can't get away from, because our whole life is governed by rituals and rhythms.
Sort of like the subway trains.
The subways, supposedly, they run on rituals and rhythms, but sometimes they don't. But, and so do the buses, but... yes, I mean, everybody goes through a regular rhythm, and we just couldn't get through daily life without a certain amount of rhythm and cyclic coming and going. We get up in the morning, we go to work, we do our work, and we come home in the evening, and then we go to bed. And all of this constitutes like an in-breathing and an out-breathing, and our own breathing, in fact, is a part of a ritual, and our heartbeat is a ritual. All of nature is governed by rituals and rhythms of some kind.
The seasons.
Mm-hmm. And the sun and the rising and the moon rising, and it's all due to the regular rhythmic spin of the earth. And nature is totally governed by rhythms, and so is the animal kingdom. The birds migrate and the animals migrate and they, back and forth in spring and summer and winter. And so all of life is very much governed by this kind of ritual, rhythmic.
Coming back to this opening thought of Alice Bailey, that the soul governs the personality through ritual, I find that an amazing and fascinating thought to ponder on. Because a lot of people who approach the spiritual path are given to making a stab at it now and then, to having periods of enthusiasm where they really try to practice their meditation or their yoga or their prayer on a daily basis, or they might become very committed to a vegetarian path or whatever. But then when the results don't come, as usually they don't, because all spiritual growth is slower than we would like it to be, then they might lose interest and go back to their normal outer, more material focus. And yet Alice Bailey says that the soul controls its personality, the outer person, through rhythmic ritual, which suggests that the persistent repetition of even a little spiritual practice, whether it's prayer or meditation, is more important than occasional fervent efforts.
Yes, I think things get done, you know, when there's a rhythm to it. Just in your own life, mm-hmm. things get done, things get accomplished, and this works all the way down from through a nature all the way through to the human kingdom. We just couldn't get through life really without a certain amount of rhythm, and this is what this slow, persistent effort is what really accomplishes so much.
Is that why it's said that if you want something done, give the task to a busy person?
Probably, because yeah. that busy person is using his or her energy the most efficient way.
Mm-hmm. With organization and
organized and
mm-hmm.
controlled, and this is very much a seventh-ray quality.
Yeah. One of the interesting things that I think we've all noticed in the aftermath of September 11th is the search for rituals and ceremonies that have helped people to deal with the tragedy and with the grief that we all feel for the 5,000 or more souls that died. There was the creation of those boards of remembrance in Union Square. And there were all kinds of interfaith gatherings that were held in the few weeks afterward. We went to one. So many of the gatherings were interfaith, where they brought together representatives of many different religions, which I thought was really nice and rather new. And there have been a lot of spontaneous gatherings. The other day I saw a photograph in the New York Times of people who gather every day down on the West Side Highway, just above Liberty Street, I think, with signs of gratitude and appreciation that they hold up for the workers who are driving to and from the site, who are working there on a daily basis. This was entirely spontaneous, and apparently it's been carried on every day since the tragedy, where people just show up to thank them. That's a kind of a ritual.
Yes, very much so. And it's a ritual that expresses love, and mm-hmm. that's the best kind.
Another is if anybody's walked past one of the firehouses, there's one in the vicinity of our office where I think 12 men died, and their photographs are there. Their names are enshrined on the wall outside on the street. There are flowers and votive candles, and it's the same up on 51st Street.
Yeah, you know, based on my understanding, each of us is dominated by a particular ray, maybe perhaps because of karma or incarnation, but whatever it is, each individual is dominated by a ray in this lifetime. But what are some of the characteristics of a person influenced by the seventh ray?
Well, it's traditionally such a person is viewed as someone who's highly organized, who copes well with detail and with organization and ritual, who is skillful on the outer physical plane of life, someone who can handle tasks in a disciplined manner. Sometimes, though, the negative aspect of it is someone who's extremely rigid in their approach to mm-hmm. how they handle responsibilities.
Yes, that rigidity of, tends to be one of the lower expressions and one of the crystallized expressions. But I was struck also by the fact that Russia is also governed mm-hmm. by the seventh ray and its soul factor, the seventh mm-hmm. ray soul of Russia. And that's has had an interesting expression already in its lower expression, you might say, because there you see the regimentation that was founded under communism. It was a very regimented type of society. It didn't work very well, but they tried it, and it was kind of the first expression of that national soul, perhaps, you could say.
And it was imposed upon a nation that is a sixth-ray personality with a tendency to fanaticism.
Right. And those two combinations just were always at loggerheads, along with the rest of the world. So, I mean, those are kind of two examples, you might say, and that express the seventh ray through persons and also through nations.
Mm-hmm. The seventh ray person is the builder, the creator of form. It's on a spiritual level, it's someone who has the innate desire to bring through his sense of divinity in some outer way, whether it's through creating through art or through some more mundane pursuit like the way he handles money or business. Mm-hmm. But it's someone who understands the link between the spiritual value and the outer form and wants to reconcile them.
I see. For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. And our topic for today is the seven rays, and we're doing ray seven, which is about, it's the seventh ray, is about order, organization. And we'll continue with that in a moment. But if you'd like to order our books, our cassette tapes of radio shows or previous archive shows, or if you'd like a cassette tape of this show, you're certainly welcome to give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. And if you'd like to order all 24 volumes of books, if you've been with us a while and you've developed an interest in what we speak about, you can certainly explore our topics further by ordering all 24 volumes of the Alice Bailey books. And you can get a 10% discount if you do so. You have to order them directly from us, though, in order to get that 10% discount. So you can give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. More specifically, if you'd like to read the two books that directly have a lot to do with what we're talking about, the seven rays, that is, and you want to really explore them in depth, you can look at Esoteric Psychology, Volumes 1 and 2. Once again, that's the two books are Esoteric Psychology, Volumes 1 and 2, and this way you can get a much better understanding of what we're speaking about. And as Sarah has often said, what we do in this program is rather just it's a superficial skimming of the rays, because once you read Esoteric Psychology's Psychology Volumes 1 and 2, you'll get more of an understanding, more of a in-depth understanding of what we're talking about here. So once again, give us a call at 1-866-695-8247 if you'd like to order the books or cassette tapes. And a lot of people ask us, are you a religion? And no, we're not. That's our most frequent question. We're, I guess, it's best said that we're a spiritual philosophy organization. We like to explore spiritual philosophy, and people from all walks of life and all backgrounds seem to become interested in the Lucis Trust material, the Alice Bailey books, and they like to explore philosophy with us. So you're also welcome, and you also can have a general, be happy to send you a general package of information letting you know who we are and what we're all about. So once again, an easy way of remembering our number is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York Lucis, LUCIS-NY-LUCIS, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. This show is funded by the generous donations of our listeners, and we need and we welcome your support. And now we'd like to return to our show about the seventh ray. And let's start off with this one. How will the seventh ray, how will it help humanity advance spiritually?
The seventh ray, in terms of the cycles of these rays, because they all have their cycles, is just now coming into a greater and greater prominence. So its energy is building, and its power will be more and more visible in the world in the few centuries to come. And one sign we can look for is the growth of the urge to fuse spirit and matter. In other words, to go back to what I said before our break, the person who's governed by the seventh ray has a driving urge to bring about a fusion, a merging, a harmony between the spiritual aspect of life and the outer form. There's a great concern with beauty, but it has to be a spiritual beauty. And I think we can look for that not only in art, but in all human institutions, whether we're talking about government or science or business. For example, the writings of Alice Bailey say that a sign of the seventh ray is the discovery of radioactivity within the mineral kingdom. The expression of the radiation is a spiritual power.
Also, there is the, yes, you mentioned about the integration and fusion process, and that's going to be in the future a very strong evidence of the seventh ray at work, because the sixth ray influence has brought forth the soul, but the seventh ray is going to give us knowledge of the soul, and it will advance human consciousness and awaken humanity to the kingdom of soul, which is mentioned a lot, but that will actually come into fruition in the next age that's directly now ahead of us. And so there is this seventh ray tendency to relate the higher and the lower, and that is very much a strong characteristic.
I wonder if these experiences that are being more and more documented, the near-death experiences of people, are a preparation for knowledge of the soul. You did quite a lot of research into that.
Yeah, there is a growing body of work out there that's really studying the soul, because it's a real thing. I mean, it's not just a word that we use. It's a real divine part of us. And so there is more and more studies and scientific studies, and these will come out more in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great.
Another aspect of the spiritual expression of the seventh ray that I think we will see more and more is a realization that spiritual development has to be grounded, that it can't just be a one-day-a-week kind of expression of religious belief, and then one goes about living one's life just the same old way. There can't be this divergence between one's moral and spiritual values and one's actual outer practices and habits. There has to be a transparency between the inner consciousness and the outer practices. And that's what I think is making people more and more appalled by the discovery of hypocrisy. Whether we find it within ourselves or within our institutions, it's more and more intolerable. I think that might be a sign of the seventh ray revealing that which is not what it appears to be. And it's coming to light for us to rectify. So it's a good thing.
In our last program, we talked about the sixth ray going out of manifestation. And you said the seventh ray influence is now growing more prominent each year. What effect is this having on our lives? And is this changing the rays, affecting the way we think and feel? And what evidence is there that this change is taking place? Well, that's a lot of questions I've asked you. Sorry about that. I don't even remember.
Yeah, we need another whole show for this, but I think we'll try to wrap it up quickly here. We've already touched upon some of the effects, and I think because one ray prepares the way for another ray, and the reason for the manifestation of one ray or another is dependent upon the plan and the divine purpose, and that's what is always unfolding. And in spite of all the conflicts that we're going through, there is a plan unfolding here underneath it all. And so going from one ray to another, there's apt to be a lot of conflict. And that's the kind of period we are in right now, because there is a clashing of rays and a clashing of influences. And the future, I think we will see there will be a lot of different changes taking place.
Well, one thing I think that's becoming apparent is people are kind of falling into either the old conservative fundamentalist view of life or the more progressive transformative view, and there's a sense of cleavage among the two realms that's quite noticeable. For example, look at globalization. In some points of view, this is seen in a very positive light, but by other people, it's seen in a very negative light. Probably it's a little of both, but it's definitely an expression of the seventh ray, because the seventh ray fosters synthesis and amalgamation. And amalgamation on the outer level is the joining together of nations through treaties based on trade or the European Union or whatever. There is this very noticeable tendency to form blocks and amalgamations. That can either be a kind of tyranny if it's not oriented toward the good of the entire world, or it can be a strengthening of the smaller nations in particular. It's very much a phenomenon that's noticed today.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there is. In the previous era, the age we just came out of, there was a sense of individualism, mm-hmm. developing of individualism. In the seventh ray influence, you will find the group mm-hmm. aspect, mm-hmm. the group work that will characterize much of the life mm-hmm. in the world.
Well, our series of shows on the seven rays is coming to an end with this show. Do we have any final thoughts?
Well, I would remind people that if they are interested in this science, to study it in depth and to use it as a means of understanding themselves and others. It's not meant to be a way of pegging people or stereotyping them. It's intended to reveal the diversity of God in manifestation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I'd just like to remind listeners again that this science of the seven rays is rather complex, and we need to study it over and over again, and the Bailey books go into this in great detail. But the divine purpose of all the seven rays is working out as the plan of God, and ultimately that's what all humanity is responsible for.
And once again, you can order those two books from the Lucis Trust organization. They're called Esoteric Psychology, Volumes 1 and 2, and that'll give you a chance to really explore in depth the seven rays. And once again, to order them, call us at 1-866-695-8247. And an easy way of remembering it would be 1-866-NY, think of New York, NY Lucis, L-U-C-I-S. That's about all the time we have for our discussion today. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.